Good morning, sisters and brothers. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I have the privilege of being the pastor at Petaluma United Methodist Church. And it's my honor to be able to welcome you today to our worship podcast, which is a powerful and unique way of bringing you a worship experience that emerges from the depths of this wonderful church. We also have other worship opportunities. You know, on 10:30 in the morning every Sunday, we worship on the lawn. And there is also a video of the sermon placed on our website and on our Facebook page. So we try to reach you in a number of different ways. And this is a very powerful one. And I offer thanks to all those who work to make this happen. And I welcome you to relax now and in this unique reality, get a cup of coffee and enjoy and listen and sing or whatever works for you to, and respond to the worshiping word. Come, let us receive now our call to worship.
Good morning. Call to worship. Every once in a while, it is a good thing to go to the core of what it's all about. For us, the core is love. It is deep, abiding love, lived out in the power of the Holy Spirit as we build Christian community and give our lives to love. In this hour, we come to grips with this core. In this moment, we receive and share this love. Come, let us love God and one another as we enter into a spirit of worship.
Call to confession. When we feel like we are far away from love, it is unlikely that it is love that has moved. It is more likely that we have stepped away from love. What has led you away from love? Today, this is the core of our confession. Getting clear about what has distracted us, led us away, and pulled us from the path of love. Come. Let us take stock of where we are in relation to love and to God.
Prayer of confession. Gracious and marvelous God, we come to prayer in this moment, mindful of our tendency to wander from you. We gather in the Spirit, deeply aware of the many distractions that make it difficult to focus on the love you offer, the love that you are. Forgive us, we pray, for the distance we create. Have mercy on us when we succumb to anger and cynicism. Accompany us, we pray, on the path back to you and help us to connect fully with you and with one another as we strive to follow the way of love, the way of Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Forgiveness breaks the cycle of wrong. Forgiveness is at the very core of our resurrection values. Forgiveness frees both the forgiven and the forgiver. In the name of Christ Jesus, we are indeed forgiven.
The first scripture reading today is from Psalm 22, verses 25 through 31. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall be eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it.
Second reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars, for those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This ends the reading.
Sisters and brothers, would you join me in a word of prayer as we prepare to unpack the sacred text today? Pray with me. Holy and mighty God, we gather this day as your people. We gather challenged and hopeful. We gather struggling and victorious. We gather in all the ways that human community emerges in every day. But today is a special day. Today we get to receive your word together in the context of worship. And we give you the thanks, and we ask that the meditations of our common heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Well, I wanted to share with you that one of my all-time favorite movies, is a film entitled The Prince's Bride. We watched it so often as a family that my kids and my wife would recite the lines along with the actors. We probably watched it once a month when the kids were young. It's a wonderful tale that is comic and deep at the same time. And one of the repeating vignettes in the film is when the Sicilian boss Vittini, who is portrayed by actor Wallace Shawn, would observe something that had happened and he would respond by saying, "Inconceivable!" And after Vizzini cuts a rope that the dread pirate Roberts is climbing, and the pirate does not fall, Vizzini yells out, "Inconceivable!" And the film's hero, Inigo Montoya, who is portrayed by actor Mandy Patinkin, looks askance at him and says, "You keep on using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means." And this little thing would repeat frequently throughout the film to the delight of the viewers, as Vizzini kept crying out, "Inconceivable!" to things that clearly were conceivable because they were unfolding right in the moment. Each time, Montoya would respond in the same way, "You keep on using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means." And in a similar vein, I knew a kid in one of my churches many years ago whose intelligence was staggering. You've probably met kids like this. They're a little scary. They're so smart. And I forget, he was not very old, but he had a stunning vocabulary, better than many of the adults we knew. And this kid just absorbed words like a sponge, like nobody's business. And the funny thing was that having all these words in his head, he would then try to use them in sentences and would use them to great theatrical flair, but would have no idea what these words really meant. And the result would be fairly comical, and one of us would inevitably say, "You keep on using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means." Definitions, I guess, are important, aren't they? I mean, if we're going to use words to communicate, we really should know what they mean. I mean, that's not unreasonable, right? Yeah, I think sometimes in our religious community, we're guilty of throwing religious terminology, and we're not quite sure of what it means, just like in the movie. Sometimes clergy do it, trying to impress people with their theological depth. Other times, other folk do it, because we've heard those words over and over, and, they must be religious, so we just use them. You know what I'm saying? We're not quite sure what they really mean. I mean, try the word sin, for example. For Christians, this is a big one, and we all assume somehow that sin is wrong, bad, terrible. In fact, sin is so horrible that unrepentant sinners go to the bad place, right? Well, we've all heard that. But the truth is that this definition is not particularly biblical. In fact, it's not really in the Bible. The Greek word that is translated into the English word sin from Scripture in the New Testament is amartia. And the word is a hunter's term for someone who has missed the mark or the target. Oh, you missed. Oops. And if you're an archer, as hunters were in those days, you had what? A quiver full of arrows, which meant, oh, you can try again. I'm guessing this does not match the understanding of sin that you have had from your youth. Doesn't match mine. Sin. You keep on using that word, and I do not think it means what you think it means. I mean, we also make the same mistake when we speak of God, don't we? who or what is God anyway? And, once in one of the churches I served, I bought a huge roll of newsprint. That's back when they printed newspapers locally, and I unrolled it all the way down the center aisle of the church, and I invited everyone, young and old, to draw a picture of God, crayons provided, of course. It was amazing what people drew. Everything from the stereotypical old white guy with a beard to pictures of rocks and daisies and stars and planets, and one person even drew God as a horse. Another as a unicorn. Oh, it was astounding. Everyone had their idea of God, didn't they? Don't they? But were they able to define God? Do they know what or who God is? Not so much. God, you keep on using that word, and I do not think it means what you think it means. And this is understandable, because throughout our sacred text, there's precious little in the way of God being defined. I mean, we have a lot of simile, that is, we hear that God is like the thunder or like the wind. Jesus even speaks of God as a chicken trying to gather the little people around him. God can be like thunder. I mean, even when God sends Moses to lead the people, Moses wants to know, who shall I say is sending me? Who are you really? And the not too helpful reply comes back, say that I am has sent you. And I can see Moses scratching his head going, I am? What? Really? No, it's interesting that the only place in our sacred text where God is clearly defined is here in 1 John. And thanks for the wonderful reading of that today. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God isn't like love. God isn't lovable. God is love. And our tendency, as I'm sure you probably know, is to construct a God that is like us, a God who talks and thinks like us, and that's why we pray like we do. But God is love, which ought to have some impact, not just on our community life, but on our prayer life as well, don't you think? And the Greek word here is agape, which refers to love lived out in the context of community. God is love, says the text, and those who live in love live in God. We who live together in love actually live within God, and God lives within us. I mean, oh, wow. God, you keep on using that word, and I do not think it means what you think it means. So I want to propose today that we accept this biblical definition of God, that we agree. I think our varying images and understandings are all fine to the degree that they lead us to love, but let us, here and now, claim the sacred word that says God is love. God's not judgment or wrath. God's not punishment or reward. God's not the grantor of special favors to those who pray real well. God is not an old white guy with a beard. No, God is love. The kind of love that creates, kind of love that gives generously of the self, the kind of love that lets go of anger and practices forgiveness, the kind of love that will lay down one's life for a friend. And friend, we hold this understanding in common among ourselves, there's literally nothing we cannot do. When love is on the march, the prisoners are freed. When love is in the house, the healing and acceptance are the order of the day. When love is in our hearts, relationships grow and deep and powerful. And when love rules our lives and our community, we have church, real church, authentic church. So let us have this understanding among ourselves. And that is that when we say the word God, we do know what it means. And it means love. Love can't be bent toward agendas of politics and greed. Love can't be harnessed for violence and degradation. Love stands for the marginalized and the wounded. Love takes a knee and kneels to honor the selfless love of countless people who have known this definition down deep and lived to its full wonderfulness in life. And I believe that the church, rooted in love, has a future. I believe that the people living in love actually do know God. And I believe that our call is to throw open our hearts so that love can enter in and help us as we move together to heal the whole world, one person at a time. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me and as we enter into prayers for the community? God, whose very name and substance are love, we gather to claim this love, to strive to live into it, to strive to understand and give our whole being to living in the power of your love so that you would live in us and we would live in you. God, we come as community and we come as ones who are far from perfect, God. We do not come as ones who know everything. We come as ones who struggle. And God, we struggle with many things. We struggle with our relationships. There are those of us who have broken relationships and seek forgiveness and a new beginning. There are those of us who struggle as family members age and move apart. God, we have so much that has been assaulting us in this time of pandemic. And the truth is, as your community, we are weary. And we ask that you pour out a spirit of power and energy upon us that we might rise up and recreate this church, that we might rise up and be a new people with new hope and new power and new courage. God, we ask that you pour a spirit too on each one of us so that where we need assurance, you lift us up and affirm us, so that where we need bravery and courage, that you pump our blood so that we stand tall and powerful. In all of it, God, we come as your people, as individuals, but truly finding ourselves in the context of community. We come and ask that you accompany us, that you empower us, that you dare us to build this church anew as we emerge from the pandemic. Push us, nudge us, provoke us, if it be your will. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami melo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni, me adamaina nomuni matintu, me dagana lo mamuni burbura, me pakasa daga melo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kakane rutiki mami. Nimbukoda manda nineme miradala. Epoka ki mami sambukoda, were sadagadala viki mami. Ika kunikoti ki mami gine vere, kamuni vambuli ke mami mene da. Nisa nomuni na matinitu. Kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asangani mundu. Amen.
Wonderful God, we come this day as ones whose hearts are full of thanksgiving. God, we are grateful that almost all of us have enough to eat, who can hear this word. We're grateful we have places to sleep. We're grateful that we have those who love us and who we are able to love. We're grateful, God, for the gift of Christian community. God, we could go on all day making a list of the many blessings that you have showered upon us. And we sing your praises and offer grateful thanks. But in this moment, God, what we want to lift up is our thankfulness and our gratefulness for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus. God, we're grateful that you came among us in the person of Jesus, that you came among us in the person of Jesus, and you sang and you danced and you taught us about love and grace and forgiveness, and you showed us a new way of living, God, free of domination, free of hurt and wounding, a way that liberates and heals. And God, we give you thanks for this. We're so grateful for this, and we know that it is out of this gratefulness that we hear your voice calling us to remember the last night that Jesus shared a meal with his followers, on that last night before he was to be betrayed, before he was to be arrested and even tortured by the police and handed over to be executed. On that night, God, we pause now with full hearts to remember that meal. And we recall, God, that in the midst of that meal, in that room, where there was so many different feelings and emotions, a room full of echoes of love and conversation, a room full of some doubt and fear as well, into that room came Jesus and his followers. And Jesus paused in the midst of that meal, and he took a loaf of bread that was on the table, and he lifted up, and he broke the bread, and he blessed it, and he gave thanks to you, God. And he said to those who were with him, "Take this and eat, for this is my body, which is given freely for you." Likewise, we know at the close of the meal, Jesus paused one more time, and this time he took the cup from the table, and he lifted it up, and he blessed it, and gave thanks to you, and he said to those who were with him, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the cup of a new covenant. This is the cup of my blood poured out for you and the whole of creation for the forgiveness of sins. Each time you do this," he said, "remember me." And here we are, God, the ones who remember. And we pause in prayer to pray that our remembrance never degenerate into a shallow religious sentimentality, but that we remember this gift, this sacrifice, with the whole of our lives, and that we are inspired and moved to go give ourselves for others in the same way. And so, God, we give you the thanks and ask that you pour your Holy Spirit out upon us, upon the bread and the cup, at the varying locations where we sit this day, so that we, as we share, will share truly in the powerful sacrifice that was made for us, the body, the blood of Christ our Lord. We pray this, we give thanks for this, and we give our lives to you in the blessed name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now, if you could take your piece of bread and hold it up, know that this indeed is the body of Christ broken for you. And you may now eat the bread. And now if you could pick up your cup and know that what you are holding is the blood of Christ shed for you and for all people so that sins might be forgiven. Please now share the cup. Let us pray. Holy God, we have feasted upon your love, and we are thankful. We hear your call to build unity in the community, God, and we go forward hearing this call, knowing that each one of us goes forward bearing the image of your divine likeness, so that on the forehead of each one is stamped God's love, God's likeness, God's reality. We give you thanks for this meal, and we go forward in the precious name to build community, to create hope, and to move forward as we create happiness among many things. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, in the wake of this feast that we have just shared, we come to the moment in our worship where we lift up and celebrate the opportunity to return to God a portion of the many blessings he's showered upon us. We're grateful, as always, for the generosity of our church and urge you to give when and where you can. We have many ways in this time of pandemic that you can give. You could certainly write a check and mail it to the church at 410 D Street in Petaluma, California. You could write that check and drop it by and put it in the mail slot in the church office. You can go on our website at www.petalumaumc.org And there's a place there, you just click and you can give that way. And now we are able to give through texting. And there are instructions on the website and I believe in the bulletin for this worship service on how to do that. However you give, know that the gifts you give truly go towards healing, hope, and the building of authentic Christian community. Thank you for your gifts, for your commitment, and for your pledges. Lord, we dedicate these gifts to your service. May we be the church who is generous to a fault. May we be the church who uses our resources to make a better world, to introduce people far and wide to the blessed love that we have experienced in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's in his name we give, in his name we serve. Amen. Friends, hear these words of benediction. This day as we go knowing that God is love, knowing the depth and the power of that and seeking to go still deeper. So we go to build community, to be generous, to forgive much, to laugh often, and to be the people of God in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.